This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The Irish economic triumph and the rise of Ireland's new elite. David, how are you?
How are you, Coy? I'm in great form. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well. We were just talking off the air. You asked if Charlottesville has a St. Patrick's Day parade. Not to my knowledge, but I sure wish we did.
My goodness, I can just hear the St. Patrick's Day. I'm in New York today. I can hear the St. Patrick's Day parade outside, still bashing away.
Wonderful, wonderful. David, tell us first a little David McWilliams 101. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? And how did you get to be at the point where you are at this point in your life?
Well, no, I'm from Dublin. I grew up in Dublin and spent a recovering investment banker. Okay, I saw the light. And luckily I made a choice myself, unlike the poor fellows at Bear Stearns and Lehman today.
Yeah, yeah.
Which looks like a terrible tragedy for them. But nonetheless, yeah, so I worked, brought up in Dublin, worked for a long time all over the place, in Russia, in England, in Israel. I even worked as a dishwasher here in New York many years ago. So I've done all sorts of stuff. And then I came back permanently to Ireland in about 2001. And I was intrigued, fascinated, and a wee bit taken aback by all the changes that had happened in our own home country. And I therefore decided about 2 or 3 years ago to start writing the book. I turned to journalism. I do television programs. I present a radio show, not unlike yourself, Coy. And we were interviewing people, and people were trying to come to terms with this new Ireland, which has changed dramatically. So I decided to scribble it all down in a book called The Pope's Children. The providence of that particular name I'll give you now in 2 seconds. And ultimately it went on to sell extremely well in Ireland, and John Wiley and Sons have picked up the rights here in America, and it's selling very well here as well.
It's a wonderful book. David McWilliams is my guest. The new book is The Pope's Children, and it really is, David, I want to characterize it correctly here, and correct me if I'm wrong, it really is, this book is sort of a snapshot of what's going on in Ireland today.
Yeah, it's exactly what's going on. I mean, the title is bizarre, because when I first wrote it, the publisher said to me, he said, you know, you're not a very religious bloke, David. You know, that sounds like a religious sort of bloke, a religious sort of book. You know, The Pope's Children, it sounds vaguely, I would say, suggestive of a Spitzer-esque weakness on the part of the Pope, but clearly not. You know, this is it's more to do with the fact that, extraordinarily, the American baby boom, the one that we hear so much about in the United States,
sure,
if you visit the United States, peaked in 1958, and they're all getting old, and people are worried about health care and blah, blah, blah. And the Irish baby boom peaked not in 1958, nor 68, nor 78. It peaked on the third week of June of 1980, which was 9 months to the very day after the Pope said Mass to a million people in Dublin.
So this booming generation is known as the Pope's Children.
What happened was the Irish responded to the Pope's message of Catholic chastity by fornicating. You know, to a degree we hadn't experienced before, I presume, all over the place. And the children are the products of this celebration, this bonfire of the vanities, if you will, are the Pope's children. And that's the generation who are now the biggest generation we have. It's the big baby boom in Ireland, and it's about this. And what makes them different, I suppose, Coy, for many of your American listeners, would obviously be the case that they were the first generation of Irish people never to have to emigrate to the United States. So they were brought up in a country which was booming, was self-confident, and ultimately, which was a country that was very different to that of our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and so forth.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, if you read my favorite book of all time is Dubliners by James Joyce, and when you read this, of course, was it 1914, I think, a very, very different Ireland in that book, different people.
Think about James Joyce. It's a very good example. James Joyce was kicked out of, or chose to leave our country, because he knew that it would not give him the latitude, wouldn't allow him the intellectual freedom. Joyce was a great example of an Irish genius, not unlike Beckett, who were forced to leave the country for their art because the country was not indulgent enough of the likes of Joyce. Now, if you think of Joyce, and, you know, he wrote Ulysses in 1907, and 1904, he wrote it in 1907, and he wrote it from Trieste, which is in Italy, not... And he wrote Dubliners, amazingly, you mentioned that, from memory. He wrote the entire of Ulysses from memory in terms of the way he plotted his day around Dublin because he had to leave the country. Now the opposite is the case. Everybody, dissenter, artist, intellectual alike, can live in Ireland now, so that's the change.
We're talking with David McWilliams. The new book is The Pope's Children. You want to understand about the Irish boom. The Celtic tiger is growling. This is the book to read. David, tell us about a phrase in your book that you use, Wonderbra economics. What does this mean?
That is worthy of Mr. Joyce himself.
Indeed.
No, I tell you what, the thing about economics is, Coy, it's far too important to be taken seriously, okay? And it's far too important to be left to academics. And the one bizarre thing that happened over the course of the last 10 years in Ireland is that we've had this extraordinary rise in what would be termed the middle class. Now, in a way, what has happened is the Wonderbra effect, and Wonderbra economics, is that the boom has pushed us all into the middle. In the past, there were some very rich people and lots of very poor people. And now what has happened is the Wonderbra effect has pushed us all into the middle class, pushes in the middle. Just imagine this. Let your listeners imagine a Wonderbra for 1 second in their heads. Pushed us all into the middle, and then it gave us this great material uplift to display our really reasonably impressive material cleavage, something we'd never had before. So we're kind of mesmerized by it ourselves. You know?
Much like you could argue the same thing happened in the States in the 50s and 60s when when the baby boomers started coming of age and started our economy started to boom, and we're seeing that now in Ireland.
Exactly. In actual fact, I think your analogy with the 1950s and 1960s in America, the post-war boom, the sense of a great American dream being achievable for most people, if not all, but certainly the vast majority could actually at least aspire to this, that is something that we experienced. You know, we were a bit slow in Ireland, you know, we experienced these things with a lag of a generation or two, but we are now experiencing it, and it has been great to be able to write a book that celebrates Ireland and that we're not victims anymore. And it's not like Frank McCourt's Angela's Ashes, where it's all miserable and terrible, and I can't believe we even survived until the age of five. This is about a different Ireland, which it's a joy to be able to write about.
And what's so amazing is that you do have, as you said earlier, David McWilliams is my guest. You said earlier you have the first generation now that can truly look to raising their family there in Ireland, and they don't have to go to the States or Australia or Europe to look for jobs.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, my first proper job ever was as a dishwasher in New York City. In 1988, and I had, it's weird when you think of it now, I had a mathematics degree from the oldest university, 1512, Trinity College, and I couldn't get a job, and basically I was there washing dishes. That's the only job I could get. I had to come to America, and that's my experience. It was not unusual. The majority of my colleagues, when we were born, Coy, we almost had export stamped on our heads. You know, basic idea was we had to leave. So now the generation coming behind me have a totally different reality. And, you know, thankfully my own children won't have to leave Ireland, and we can all make a fist of it in the home country.
David, tell us about the Irish. Tell us about these people that you write about in your book.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty broad church, obviously. But what has, I mean, it's been described, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning. They said, what's it like? And I said, well, it's a bit like Connecticut with poxy weather, you know. If you can imagine that, you know, it's in many ways, Coy, become very Americanized, which I think is a good thing, because the opposite was to remain impoverished. It is a very uplifting, it's a very outgoing nation. It's a very joyous nation. It is a nation that feels they can do almost anything now. It's also a nation that is much, much more aware now of our tribe, our friends, our cousins in America. I mean, 44 million Americans describe themselves as Irish Americans. It's the biggest ethnic group in the United States. And you see on a date like today, in St. Patrick's Day, that ethnic group giving voice to its sort of traditional allegiance both to America and to Ireland. And we feel very much now that Ireland and the Irish is not so much the story of a nation, rather it's the story of a tribe. It's the story of a big, big interrelated tribe, whether it's here, Argentina, Australia, South Africa, or of course Britain, where many, many millions of Irish people live. Well, what we have is a big tribe, a family, and today is our gathering. It's a bit like today is, you know, it's a bit like our sort of, you know, large rock festival and everything all thrown into one.
Right.
The it's the Super Bowl for patties, for mix.
David McWilliams, a noted Irish economist, broadcaster, best-selling author. His new book is The Pope's Children, about the Irish boom and what's going on in Ireland today. David, tell us about the Declanders, and is it the Hycos?
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, what happened was when I was writing the book, you know, I spent most of the time, when you're writing a book about a society, like if you're writing about Virginia, you've got to drive around Virginia and you've got to see people and take notes and try and put what you observe socially into some sort of overall framework to make some sense of it. And, you know, Ireland is a country, it's the only country in the world where Noah and his ark would still be in business now, right? Because it rains about 360 days a year. It's horrendous, right? Stuck up in the Northwest Atlantic. Every single bit of poor weather that's coming in from America and up in Greenland, when it's coming into Europe, it hits us first. So we get the worst of it.
Yeah.
So you would not expect Irish people to be impressed by, or in any way seduced by, outside decking. You know, you have in America, you've got decks, right? And people have decks, and decks are good because you've got very good weather, and you can, you know, have barbecues and this sort of stuff. In the last 5 years, Irish people have gone mad buying decks, right?
Really?
Now, these decks only serve, and believe me, because I've got two young kids and a deck, they only serve to splinter the feet of children at birthday parties, okay? Because, so nobody ever uses them. And, of course, we buy these Viking top-of-the-range bloody barbecues. And nobody uses, but they're a status symbol. So when you go around the new suburbs of Dublin, and you, not only Dublin, but Cork and Belfast and Galway and all these old cities, what you see is a profusion of the most useless thing in the world, which is outside decking and barbecues for Irish people.
Sitting in the pouring rain.
Absolutely. They're sitting in the lashing rain, sitting there saying, oh, you know, it's lovely here out in me deck, even though I'm freezing cold. So I decided that these new suburbs should be called Deckland, because every house is advertised, you know, with a deck, which nobody uses. And then, so the Declans are the sort of the people who are aspirational. They've made a lot of money in recent years.
Yeah.
They're in good form. They're driving SUVs, which they really need because the Andean mudslides in Ireland are shocking, you know. And
right.
If you hadn't got an SUV, you might just disappear off the road.
Got to have your Humvee.
I know, which is complete nonsense.
So these folks are building decks like Americans are building three-car garages.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And they're spending money on stuff they don't have, but, you know, stuff they don't need with money they don't have. Okay?
To impress people they don't know.
Impress people they don't know, exactly. Yeah. We're even getting, you know, the funny is we're even putting basketball hoops in the front garden. Nobody in Ireland plays basketball. We're too small. We're short. I mean, you know, apart from the Boston Celtics, you know, apart from Larry Bird, there's never been a tall Irish man in the world. So we're like these little squat guys, but we've got these basketball hoops, even though soccer is our game.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, you know, basketball makes you feel American. And makes you, you know, so that's one tribe.
Yeah.
They are new, and they're aspirant, and they're in good form. They're great fun, these people. They're great fun to be with, and they are living the dream. And then, of course, the old middle class, who used to own everything, and are now getting elbowed out by the Declanders, they say, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? We're falling down the status leak here. So they throw up barriers against the Declanders that money alone cannot surmount. So, for example, they talk, you know, they all go on holidays to exotic locations. They all tend to speak the Irish language. They all tend to be very well read. They all tend to know the difference between fennel and fenugreek, stuff that I couldn't
right.
tell you if it hit me on the head.
Right.
And so the Hycos are the new elite. And the reason I call them Hycos is in the past there were two major strands of Irish intellectual life, social life. There was the Hibernian Irish and the cosmopolitan Irish. And the Hibernian Irish wanted to stay at home and wanted to be all Catholic and Irish-speaking and, you know, basically conservative. And then the liberals were the kind of the cosmopolitans, and they regarded London or New York in particular, as being the epicenter of the world, and we were citizens of the world and just happened to be Irish. We happened to have red hair, but largely we were citizens of the world. And so the big battle in Ireland, like for morality and divorce and sex before marriage and all these things, was between the Hibernian types and the cosmopolitan types. But in the end, what was funny is that neither side won. The new elite are a synthesis of both. They're a little bit of Hibernianism and a little bit of cosmopolitanism. And they're the Hycos, and they're the ones who send their kids to Irish language schools and who have, you know, walk-in fridges that nobody knows what really goes on in there, but we're sure they go to very swanky restaurants, and ultimately they're the new elite.
We're talking with David McWilliams. The new book is The Pope's Children. David, I have to ask you, got a couple of minutes left. It's sort of a serious question here before we conclude. The violence that so many Americans grew up being familiar with, you know, when we watch the nightly news, it was always, you know, the Middle East and Northern Ireland.
I know.
We don't hear that anymore. And bring us up to speed now. What's going on there?
Well, you know, ever since my wife, who's a Belfast Protestant, and myself, who's a Dublin Catholic, married in 1999, there has been peace in Ireland. We are emblematic of the new Ireland, and our little children, who are two little mongrels when it comes to religion, are emblematic of the new tolerance. The whole point is that thankfully, after, but in actual fact, my own family and my own wife is a good example of what has happened. 20 years ago, we would never have got married.
Really?
A Belfast Catholic, our Protestant, would never have touched a Dublin Catholic, and vice versa, okay? Because we were two different tribes. It just didn't happen. And now it's happening much more, and people are much more tolerant. And thankfully, the IRA stopped, frankly, because they couldn't win, if the truth be known. And the British government stopped fighting, frankly, because they couldn't subdue them. So I think they both kind of fought themselves to a standstill. And now we have peace, which is unprecedented in my lifetime.
Long overdue.
And it's fantastic. It's brilliant. You know, you go to Belfast, and you know, the feeling is so different. It's really brilliant. And hopefully it'll last. I think it will last. And of course, then once the peace starts, the economy starts to kick in. I mean, this is a very normal lesson. People get rich. They don't want to be killing each other anymore. And ultimately, then the economy starts to grow, and that reinforces the peace, and the peace reinforces it. And I don't think we'll ever go back to it. We'll never look back.
What a great argument for a little less war and a little more peace, huh, David?
That's what we need.
David McWilliams, the new book is The Pope's Children, The Irish Economic Triumph and the Rise of Ireland's New Elite. David, it's truly been an honor to talk to you. Thanks
for
joining us.
It's been a real pleasure. Take care.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Cheers, Goy. Bye.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.